back to another episode of He's a Guy podcast. We got a special one for you today. You know, before I go too far, remember to like, comment, subscribe. Little button going to be right here. Little red button. Hit it. You know what I mean? Deshaun, you want to give it a try? No?
All right, Steph, let's get back to it.
Weak dog.
We have a guest here with us today. Justin, how you doing, bro?
I'm doing good. Pleasure. I appreciate you guys all for having me here, man.
So how we start off, usually we go around the room, do a little mental check-in.
All right.
See how everybody's doing, you know? Start with you, Theon. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing really good, man. Like, just proud of us. You know what I mean? Like, I think we're putting our best foot forward, trying to do something that, you know, not many people do. And it comes with its highs, it comes with its lows. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think staying together as a collective unit and doing it and trying to push forth the memo that we're pushing. You know, I'm just feeling grounded. I'm happy that we're here today. I can't wait for our live event to come. I'm just feeling good.
Right. Man, speed of that, yeah, for sure. Is this episode? No? All right, well, anyway. Well,
Maybe.
Yes.
Whatever. Yes. Let's keep going.
It will be, actually. Okay, so if you guys didn't know, speaking of that, Theon alluded to it, live podcast event, it'll be this Thursday. June 5th. Cammage, 6:30. Hope to see you guys there. Yeah, I mean, tickets, please. Get your tickets. I'm doing well. Like Theon was saying, we're taking steps forward into doing something major, something that we had not this idea so many more months ago, you know? Like, we didn't think this would be where we are, and here we are pushing forward. So new growth, new everything, and I'm happy to be here and do that with these guys, you know?
I want to say something. Like, I've seen so many people come in for, like, these toxic, like, guys and women going against each other podcasts. Let's come for some positivity, bro.
Oh, that's right. What.
Come together for some positivity.
Light and positivity.
Right. It's true. You like that, Justin?
Yeah, I do like that. I like that. Come together. I like that.
How are you doing this week, bro?
Honestly, I'm good. I can't complain. I'm really on a spiritual journey right now. Mm. That's something that I've been working on, trying to tap into over the last, like, let's say 6 to 8 months.
Okay.
So right now, just a lot of it's been more positive than negative.
Right.
So I'm just taking my time day in, day out, just give thanks. Mm. Try to bring it closer to home. I've been trying to steer the wheel for so long. So I'm positive, feeling good.
Love that.
Blessed for the cookies. I appreciate it. It's my weakness, but I appreciate it.
You're not the only one. We all cookie boxes.
Right? Video, bro. There's competition right now. This guy. Let's do 50 push-ups.
You are, bro. What you saying, bro?
Chilling, you know? Just had a good week so far. You know, just feeling rushed in everything I do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's all life is, you know? They throw you stones, you throw back apples.
Come on. Right. Under the gun, I like that
right?
Pressure.
So, you know, a lot of pressure comes with it, but it is what it is, you know? Mm-hmm. Like you guys said, happy to be here with you guys. We got a big event coming up. You know, I got to cut my hair. Deshaun made sure that.
Don't make that a pressure. Man. It's tough.
Terrell, you can't wear your hat.
We've seen you before.
All right. So, whatever. You know, I'm going to get it done, you know? No pressure on the group. But I'm good, you know. Deshaun,
what you said?
Don't be a hot fish, brother. Hey.
I have a story for you guys about that, but we'll talk about it after.
All right,
man. I'm feeling good. I'm probably checking in around a 7. I'm just tired today. My sister graduated high school today, so big up to her.
Congratulations.
She's going to University of Toronto next year. Really, like, you know, play some ball. Focus on her academics. I'm super proud of her. But it was just a long day. Yeah. This event. You know, I'm super excited, like, again, to echo what everybody's saying. Like, I'm super proud of us. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yo, forgetting about the outcome of it, it's just the fact that we're doing it is the win.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, this is something that I'm learning at this part of the journey is like, it's who do I need to become? Not always being married to a result. You're going to miss the shot. You're going to lose the game. Things are going to happen.
Right.
But it's like, who do I become in that process? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm really liking and seeing who we're all becoming. Because this podcast is forcing us to become and evolve. And we're seeing it. Yeah. And I'm proud of us for all taking on that journey.
Round of applause. Close that one off.
So for this episode today, we're going to talk about how to be within healthy relationships. And we have a special title, Justin, that you have, you know, relationship coach.
Yeah.
Can you tell us, you know, kind of like who Justin is in that space and what you do with that? You know what? Let me take that back. Who you are away from that as well. I want to know who Justin is as well.
Okay. So let's go to Justin. Justin is the man that learned from his experiences through his journey in relationships, learning that love isn't necessarily luck, but it's a component of strategy, structure, a lot of patience, and consistency. So I'm basically a relationship specialist, coach, strategist, if you want to call it that. And I help individuals, give them tools to better themselves in their relationship, moving forward so they can perform better and show up better.
Yeah.
But me on the back end, father of two, I'm the cookie monster, man. Like, you know, listen, I can't even lie. Like, cookies all day. But I'm that guy. I'm the brother's keeper. I'm your right hand, your crutch. I'm that motivator, whatever you need, really and truly. Because I'm here for my brothers, man. I got a big heart, so I love deep, and I love passion. And I say that not just only on the, let's say, like, with my significant other, but
wholeheartedly,
my brothers. Yeah, wholeheartedly. I wear it on my sleeve. I got a tattoo there, love and loyalty. So for me, I love to be supportive. So this is why I appreciate even being here for this, because it helps all of us. To Tashawn's point, man. You said it.
Appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
So how did you get into the career of that? You know, like you said, that's kind of who you've always been and stuff like that. But how did that path lead you to there?
Wow. I wanted to be the coach that I didn't have. In my relationships and my messes, all my hiccups, I needed somebody to give me a different lens, perspective. Kind of shift my mentality. If I had that in the past, a lot of things would have been different for sure. Because again, like, we're all learning, right? So it's a process, it's a step, but then there's a lot of mistakes in it. So with that, I created Justin Connects Relationships as a Sport. So I sat back, took my losses, started reading on coaches, professional sporting etiquette, and merged them too. So relationships as a sport is something that I really pushed as the narrative for us to almost take our relationships on a high level, on a professional level. So there's so many components of that, from the managerial skills, coachability, independent skills, teamwork skills, merging all of that right down to scouting. Scouting is your dating stage. It really is. But a lot of us scout for a parent. Like, oh shit, look, he's making a move. No. Look how she looks. Whoa. That doesn't mean anything. You got to know how that person's character is. So you don't watch. When you look at a coach scouting or a scout scouting a player, they're not just watching for his ability to play on the court or the field. They're looking for what? How he is post-game. What that characteristics like. How he interacts with them. You know what I mean? It says a lot. We don't do that in our relationship. And that's the first step. Sitting down, that dating stage is crucial, because you're looking to find someone that could actually blend on your team of one to make the team of two. And then when you add in that managerial component, that's like top, the GM. But everybody in a relationship has to have that component. In your relationship, I'm saying. You got to be able to see it, oversee it, and make the call executively.
Guess I've been scaling for a while now.
Too long.
Nah, because when you, I'm listening to everything you're saying, and I'm like, low-key, we've been scouting.
You can, but you're a bad scout.
I wouldn't go that far.
Think of this, though.
All right, talk to me.
Let's ask this question right now. How long? So let's get into your personal space. Are you in a relationship currently?
I'm married.
Come on.
So what do you mean you've been scouting for a long time?
No, yeah, because like, what I meant by that is that probably came off wrong. So like, when we were dating,
right?
I was scouting, not knowing I was scouting, because I'll put it to you like this, like, so when we were dating, I was like, I want to meet her parents, because
okay, now I see where
you see what I'm saying. So like, when I'm looking at it as like, I'm going to see how her parents raised her and how her parents act and how she acts around her parents.
Right.
Because then I'll know if she's the one for me, because I don't want to say it's like if her parents are like, make her do whatever she wants or she can say whatever she wants around her parents with no manners. I was like, I don't want this raising my kids.
Right. 100%. To add on to that, I always say this. You could see, you always tell how someone was raised by the way they raised their children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You always tell their upbringing. To your point, you're looking to see where the mannerisms are, respect level is, and like the discipline to see if that's even a mesh for you. So that, I applaud you for that, because a lot of people don't necessarily do that. They just see it and they're like, okay, well, I'm going in this direction.
Right.
Forget everything that's in the back, but that represents what the children see moving forward. And you have children too?
Two.
Two? What age?
Eight and two.
Eight and two.
You got me thinking for a second.
Yeah, I see that.
No, you got me in trouble.
Calculation. Eight and two. I got a 16-year-old and a 3-year-old.
No, well, yeah, okay.
16-year-old and a 3-year-old. So, again, to that.
I love that you dropped, like, you broke it down into, like, a more of a layman's terms and, like, terms of sports. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, a lot of people, they don't know how to go about it. So I think if, like, for example, the basketball world, they hear how you say, how you broke it down to that, like, we're playing ball. Coaches don't want to come and just see you scoring 100. They want to see you, have you moved the ball? You know, you play defense. And, like, to add to, like, what you guys are saying, like, when I met my significant other, there was, like, prerequisites that I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You said how you are with kids,
because
necessarily you don't have, maybe you don't have younger siblings or whatever the case is, how you are with kids, how you are with people,
mm-hmm.
how you are with your family, all these things, like I can mesh into like, okay, yeah, like you're raising my child, or just even somebody that I want to be around all the time, right? Like looks is one thing, but I can't just build a relationship off of looks, because eventually looks fade.
Whatever,
you might become annoying to me. Like I need to be able to scout in a way that I'm like, okay, I can be around this person 24/7 if need be.
And that's true, because that builds right down to the chemistry. So you have to have that chemistry component. There's so many players on teams, and I keep going back to the sporting, but there's so many teams that don't have the chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Rodman and those guys, when they were playing, there was no chemistry, but they had the fundamentals of the game. But there was still so much of a distorted element within the team orientation. And a lot of people just sit down in this pocket where aesthetic drives the narrative.
Especially in this day and age.
Wow. Like, it's bad. And when you jump into aesthetic, you almost by default jump into intimacy. So you jump into intimacy. Think of this logically. Remove intimacy. The only thing you have left now is the bond. Because people sit down in intimacy and feel like that's the connection. And it's really not, because there's nothing else. You jump into that, okay, I got into this intimate moment. We've already had sex. All right, cool, put that to the side. What else is there in this relationship?
Yeah.
I know nothing about you. Do we even mesh? Do we even gel? Are we on the same
frequency? Yeah.
And now you're forced to get there. But intimacy is like the drug. It ruins the relationship that fast, because you're so into it. All you're doing is physicality. I know nothing about you on a substance level deep enough.
I relate to that heavy. Like, it reminds me of a situation I was in a while back. And I think, like, a lot of things you got speaking to, which is interesting, is, like, dimensions of character.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we brought that into sport, it's like, how do you play up 20?
Right.
How do you play down 20?
Yes.
How do you play on the road?
Mm-hmm.
How do you play when we're on a losing streak?
Exactly.
And I think it's like, how are you with your parents? How are you with the kids? How are you with your friends? And I remember, like, the girl I was talking to, I never saw her friend. I never got to see, who are your people?
Right.
Who are you around? And it made me start to now question her character, because it started to feel like what I was seeing in front of me was starting to feel like an act, because I don't know the other dimensions. I don't know the other sides of you.
Right.
I'm only seeing the side you're showing me, presenting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us in the dating stage, we act. We become the person we think the other person wants. Oh, so I'm going to cook, clean, take care of you, rub your back, this and that. But it's like, is this really you?
Mm-hmm.
Were you doing this
to
win me over?
Right.
And it was hard to tell. And I felt like in my body, I felt like something was wrong, but the aesthetic was right.
Right.
I was like, damn, this aesthetic's hitting. She's bad.
Right.
But really, like, I could feel in my soul that that wasn't for me. Right. And I ignored that. And I think part of that was aesthetic.
How'd you pull away from that?
eventually it's like I couldn't not listen. The noise just kept getting louder inside of me. Like, it's like, yo, this isn't for you. Mm-hmm. I think in life we know when things are not for us. Uh-huh. Like when they say, like, I feel like our gut instinct is usually the right instinct, but 100%. It's like we ignore it sometimes because other noises. And I think like it got to a point where the gut became so much louder than the other noises.
Interesting.
I have a question for you. Actually, kind of branching from what Tashawn was just saying there. So with your clients, how do you balance like the empathetic stage for a person, mm-hmm. but then also try to keep them accountable? Like, even like you just asked Tashawn there, like, how do you break away from that and keeping them, you know, self-aware and honest?
The thing about empathy and relationships and accountability, like with my clients, I'll walk through their pain, mm-hmm. but I'm definitely going to call you out on your shit, because there's got to be a level of understanding and realism. Like, you have empathy. Empathy without accountability is just, it's like enabling.
Yeah.
And then accountability without empathy is like abuse. Mm-hmm. So what's the middle grounds to that? Where are you hitting the middle ground for that? There's got to be the situation.
Smile. I'm saying, you hit some bars.
Can you repeat that?
I've seen the smile. I didn't want to cut you off, bro. I'm seeing it right now, bro. You're getting over here. You know what I mean?
High key, you're up 20 in the first place.
Time out.
Like, empathy without accountability is enabling. Mm-hmm. Accountability without empathy is abuse. Right?
Woo!
Yeah. So it's crazy. So you have to have, obviously there's a situation, but you have to have the realism on top of it, because you can't get nowhere without being true. Mm. And I think a lot of people, when they get into relationships or they're in dispositions, they tend to stray away from hurting the significant other with truth. But what is truth? What's a relationship if I can't be honest?
But I have a question now. Do you think everybody can handle the truth?
No.
How do you deliver that? Because I feel like, off of Terrell's question, I feel like that's exactly where I stand in a lot of my relationships. Mm-hmm. It'll be like, I think as a man, we deal with the logistics of things pretty well. Like, we're pretty logical beings, right?
Right.
But we understand, even if something comes off harsh, we can see the message without feeling the emotion of how it comes across, right? Mm. A lot more times than I feel like women will. So that's why we struggle with a lot of the times delivering a message
right
the right way, even though what we're saying is plain and simple. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I struggle with the idea of giving all the honesty that I want to give, mm-hmm. because I'm trying to protect that.
Their feelings.
With the message,
their
feelings, yeah.
Right. So, like, okay, so all results are dependent on the approach. So I don't know what your level of communication is like. I'll be honest. I love from a passionate place. So this is where the sports ties into this, with communication and being coachable, mm-hmm. but understanding tonality. Mm. The coach is yelling at you on the court. He's not yelling at you because you're a shit player. He's yelling because he's seeing something that he wants you to see. So now in the professional sporting element, the player digests that in a positive. He's not sitting there like, why are you talking to me like this right now in front mm-hmm. of the crowd? That's not the case. He's hearing it. He's focused. And his job is now to go in and apply it. So when you can have that element of communication between your partner, where not everything is always being digested by tonality, listen to the point. So sometimes you have to be able to deliver it in the way that's going to be comfortable for your significant other. But at the same time, you can't stray away from essentially just telling, hey, how are you? There's a time and place, but there's a tone and there's a decibel level. So to your point, you don't struggle with it. It's just the receiving it. Who's receiving what your message is? And if you're sitting and you're trying to express this to your girl or however it is, and she's not digesting this, or he's not digesting it. Not to say that pause, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to,
space.
Yeah, we're in a relationship space, right? So, my bad.
No, you progressive, fam. It's all good.
Yeah, nah, but, yo, you have to
talk to somebody on it.
No, no, for real. Like, I just want to make sure you're, I'm here. I support it all, bro. You know what I mean? How do you? Yeah. But no, back to the point. You got to be able, they got to be able to digest it.
Yeah.
It's all about the level of communication. And some people just, they hear tone versus the point.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, we argue from like the past trauma versus what the initial issue is. So you notice how when you're in relationships and you're arguing or you have a disposition, it strays. It always strays and derails off of what the initial point was. And then you got to double back, scale back. It takes time. It's understanding your partner. It's really communicating and building one-on-one.
I think like what you're saying is honestly very true. And I think we've talked about this on a few times on this podcast about like honesty and just giving all the information. And mm-hmm. I think, no, we have, right? And I think there is like that hesitancy because it's like, how will that information be received?
Mm-hmm.
And now we're looking at it like we don't want to cross that bridge.
Right.
So we just keep it to ourselves.
Right.
And I don't, go ahead.
What I was saying, yes, you're right. But I don't know if it's so much so that I'm trying to hide info. It's how I deliver said info. So now it's like I can't even give my significant other the real, raw, honest truth the way I would
say it to the man.
Yeah, say it to right. the man, for example. Like if I were portrayed like, yo, I'm not gonna lie to you, bro. That pissed me off the other day. Da-da-da-da-da. Like if I was to say that, it's be like, oh, you know, he's mad. Like it would just be like a missing the point of why I was mad versus, oh, he's just mad, and that'd be it.
But I think, like, what he said, Justin said, was tonality, right? Mm-hmm. You might be able to express that specific message
right.
to demand them in that direct way. You can deliver them. That to somebody else in a manner that they can consume that.
Right.
That can change everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's something I'm working on.
So me too. Every day.
Yeah,
it's always evolving, right?
Every day. When you love from a passionate place, you care from a passionate place. So speak, it comes really. Off and expresses that way. It's not that. And we're so misunderstood. As men, we're like very misunderstood because we're essentially deep lovers. We're passionate partners. But at that same time, when it comes off hostile, the message is gone. And it's like, why are you talking to me like that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I'm not trying to talk to you like that, but I need you to hear what I'm saying. Right now.
I'm just hot heat.
Just, like,
yeah. Just hot heat right now.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I need you to hear what I'm saying, but I don't want you to take it from a place where I'm yelling at you like, I don't care. Because what it defeats the purpose. It's almost a contradiction. Why am I telling you something? I might as well let you go fail and just let you sit there.
Mm.
Go ahead. But I'm telling you because I care. So that's why I say, coachability, relationships as a sport, that's how it is in coaching. The coach cares to show you what it is because he's overseeing the court. You got to be a coach. I got to be a coach. He got to be a coach. All of us got to be a coach. And we got to be coachable.
How do you talking to me, bro?
My question is, Justin, how do we deliver that message to somebody? Because, like, again, like you're breaking it down in basketball terms and we can understand that. But how do you, to your significant other, how do you deliver that same message? I mean, like, yeah, how?
They don't play basketball.
Yeah, because you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? You're breaking it down, like, and it's always made sense to me, but like the way you're saying it now,
right?
I it's clear.
Right.
I get it.
Right.
But my significant other, she never played sports. So it's not, I can be like, listen, the coach talking to you like this because he loves you.
Right, look at me like, what the fuck are you talking about?
What you
saying right now? Who'd you get that from, Justin Connection? What that guy? Like, what? Yo, give that guy cookies, man. Get him out. Nah, that's a good question. How to break that down to somebody that wouldn't understand, like, sporting ethics? I think it comes down to, for you and your situation, is really understanding it's your wife or...
Fiancé.
Her language. What's her language like? So what would trigger her if you guys are in a disposition and how do you delegate, how you navigate speaking to her?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not oblivious. We know how to push the button a little bit here. Yeah, we know how to step on toes. But to understand her and where she's more soft, it's not you adjusting to it. Because again, relationships are commitment. Mm-hmm. There's a high level of strategy. A lot of structure. So you have to be willing to put those blocks in order. So you just got to work with her, but work honestly to understand her versus trying to understand just what you're trying to convey.
Yeah. Would you say, like, and I can't remember which, I was talking to one of the guys about this at one point. It was about, like, sugarcoating. Mm-hmm. You feel a certain way, but I don't want to sugarcoat the message. What is the difference, would you say, between, like, sugarcoating mm-hmm. and what you just described?
Oh, sure. Or is there a difference?
Yeah. Or is there a difference? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm like, yo, Steph, you disrespect me, or if I said instead, like, yo, Steph, honestly, like, you know, things you did, I wasn't really sure about it. It didn't make me feel really good. Is that me sugarcoating it? Like, what? Or is it me just understanding Steph, or in this situation, just having a better understanding of the person? Like, what?
Sugarcoating is essentially beating around the bush, mm-hmm. right? So you don't want to beat around the bush. You want to get to your point. But again, in the relationship, you're trying to understand your partner. You're working in a team. So again, we go to basketball, any type of sport. You know you're good as a power forward. But if I'm delivering the ball to you and you're messing up all the time, I got to find a different strategy. So you have to find a different approach. Mm. In the relationship, it's not to say you're sugarcoating on purpose, but sometimes you have to kind of just tediously move around it without trying to, because the whole objective is to get your point across. You don't want to miss that by just being ignorant. So you're trying to get your point, delegate it in a different way, move it a different way, and just kind of talk to them in the right way.
I was talking to me, still.
Don't worry.
I'm here for you, but listen, brother, don't call me power forward. That's a soft spot for me, brother.
Yo, man. I stop.
A shooting guard.
You guys should have seen him this last game. Oh, my God. That was funny.
I want to see you jumping off the bench and putting on your shirt. I'm trying to see the points. You're like, yo, how much did you score in that game?
How much did you score?
Seven. Like a 12?
12?
Mm. Yeah. Yo, he was calling up, pulling threes. You see his frame should be down low.
What? Yeah, I'm not going down low. They don't let anyone hurt.
Yeah, right.
So I'm saying, so he's coming up a strong week. Don't call him power forward.
I take that back. I take that right back.
Yo. Okay. So kind of shifting gears away from that. What does showing up truly mean in a meaningful relationship?
What does showing up mean in a meaningful relationship?
It's for the group too. So. Anybody?
Well, I think we should give ours first and then
see how that, yeah, how that make stacks
it
count. Up.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Count. I like that.
So I'll start. When the question was showing up.
What is showing up truly mean in a relationship?
Me, like, I'm not looking for somebody to show up for me, but if I'm going to show up for somebody,
yeah.
I would have their back, be there when they need me,
mm-hmm.
Listen. Me, like, when I'm me personally, when I'm gonna have somebody's back, it's like I'm gonna be there for you thick and thin.
Yeah.
Like, you could call me at 1 a.m. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't answer my phone after 10. But if I seen the madam's name pop up on my phone, I know, like, you're calling me for a reason. So I'm gonna answer. Right? I'm not gonna be like, ugh, Sean, nah, talk to me. You know what I mean? Like, that's showing up, like, just being there.
Are we saying it in a significant other sense? Or
just in a meaningful relationship. So it could be for the guys, could be for your significant other, could be for family members. What does showing up truly mean?
I think Terrell touched on a lot of them, but I think listening is a huge, like you did say it, but listening is a huge one. Trying to understand,
mm-hmm.
Adapting with them.
Right.
Being supportive, even when you don't understand.
Sorry to laugh.
I'm going.
You all know why? I think that was the toughest one for me. Yeah, I'm like, I don't understand, but I can't. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
And just, just being reliable. You know what I mean? Again, to add to all the points that you already echoed, or you already said, just being that person that I would want somebody to be for me,
mm-hmm.
I think. Those are the key factors that I really think about, and I'm like, okay, these are how I would be able to show up for somebody else.
You want to go? Me? You?
Sure, I can go. I think, like, I don't want to reiterate what they've all said, but, like, there's something that speaks to me about just being present,
mm-hmm.
and being there, even though when you don't know what to say or what to do or how to or understanding. You maybe you not understand, but it's just that act of being there. And I know, like, in the past, I've struggled with not doing anything because I didn't know the right thing.
Right.
But showing up to me is not really about always knowing the right thing, but it's just like, it's being there, being present and trying.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I would say that would be the only thing that I would add. Mm-hmm. And like seeing the person, like you can see, for example, like if your girl's having a bad day and she's like, I'm good. You could see that something is off.
Right.
Showing up to me is not just being like, all right, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually being like, baby, like I could see something's going on with you. Like, what's up? Talk to me.
For sure.
You know, I could tell by your demeanor, like something, what happened in your day? Like that to me is the more so showing up. It's not just being there, but it's actually being there, right, and being present.
Right. I'd say on the other side of that, acknowledgement as well. You know what I mean? Not to like go too deep, but like me and my girl had a conversation recently where it's like, I know you see me,
mm-hmm,
but that acknowledgement sometimes you just need to know, like, oh, like, thank you for cooking dinner, or
right,
thank you for changing the tires. You know what I mean? Yeah. And those two feed off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm not really a big acknowledgement guy, mm-hmm, but it's, sometimes it's just like, I know I do it all the time,
right,
to hear whatever, and vice versa,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But see, actually seeing the person and acknowledging what they bring to the table or are doing,
mm-hmm,
for you or for family or whatever.
Right.
I think also to add to your one more.
Not to your point. We're playing pick
up. To your point. Yeah, I'm gonna hit that back.
I've got.
Even just asking the question, like, how am I showing up for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think that's another big one, because sometimes we can, from our perspective, think we're doing everything right.
Right.
And maybe we could ask and be like, how have I been showing up for you lately? Like, how am I doing? Is there anything I could do better for you? Like,
mm-hmm,
how? That type of stuff.
Yeah,
for sure. I'm gonna do that now.
Yeah, no, I think that's the one. Two that I was gonna say was acknowledgement, and then I like that point. I want to echo that as well. I did that recently, even just asking like, how can I show up better? But it's not to a significant other, even just to your parents, to friends. Like, how can, mm-hmm, I be a better friend? I remember asking that to the situation I had with my homie a while back, about, you know, kind of falling out. So even just in those type of situations, recognizing and being self-aware, and that's a part of self-awareness, I think. Right. So the self-awareness to know that you don't have all the answers, to know that you're trying, to know that, you know, you won't always be the best that you can be, but to, again, acknowledge all of those things and try to show up every day. So I feel like those are all encompassing. But Justin, what do you say?
Those are all good answers, to be honest with you.
I thought we're about to get school.
They are good answers, but I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah.
To keep it relationship based.
Okay.
Like, we gotta show up healed.
Mm.
Because we love so deep from a broken place. Mm. To be real with you.
Unlearning.
So, yeah. So you have to be in a moment of wanting to be humble enough to learn, to move forward in a difference. You could show up and be present, physically there, but emotional intelligence, you could be gone. So you're not even seeing, you can't even read the room properly. You have to want to learn. You have to want to be patient. You're going to have to want to make the mistakes. You got to want to be committed, dedicated, and willing to practice day in, day out. Because again, relationships are a sport. It's a sport. You don't win the championship by just playing one game and then effing up for the rest of the week. It doesn't work like that. You review. You see where you went wrong. You communicate. You build off of that. The next day is the next day. It's a new day. But you got to show up committed. You're showing up to the court to play. You're coming to the relationship to play. And a lot of people don't do that. They play house league in relationships. It's the truth. When they feel like coming to the court, feel like coming to the park, fucking, I'm going to play today. But you got to play on a professional level, but show up on a professional level. Everyone looks at Kobe, but what is it? You want to shoot with me in the gym? Like, yo, you better be shooting with me in the gym. And that's not even a joke. You got to be there. So you have to be present, and not just physically present, mentally present.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, yo, you do this.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You know how some people say they do this? No, you do this. I can tell you do this.
I mean it. What makes it even better? The voice is all smooth. Let me tell you. So, like, you got it. Like,
he delivers it at Rico Suave.
Smooth.
Smooth.
You gotta be there. You gotta. I'm there like, I'm not there.
Be my thing. Like, we all did a really, really good job. I thought, yo, we got him.
No, yeah. I knew we didn't have him.
No. When we hit him, when I heard the butt, here we go.
No, sure.
He hit me. You seen it coming. I was like, no, there we go.
Okay, to kind of piggyback off of that, how do we stay emotionally present during conflict or discomfort in a relationship? Again, for the room.
Yeah.
I think Justin should start.
We'll clean up after. How to stay emotionally present? What's the question?
How do we stay emotionally present during conflict or discomfort in a relationship?
That's a good one. I would say very open, transparent, but understanding the difference from, am I trying to win the argument or am I trying to understand and rectify the problem? Because a lot of people, sorry. It's true.
Again, talking to me.
It's true because we lose ourselves, again, passion. We're deep lovers. But when we're trying to prove a point, sometimes it looks like we're battling
position. All that goes out the window.
It's all gone out the window. And then it's like, are we now trying to win the argument? And that shouldn't even be like that because, again, relationships as a sport, you can't play like that on the court. You get nowhere. You're just two people bickering back and forth. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to score 2 points right now. Let's run the play. We got to always remember, are we trying to win the argument or are we trying to rectify the situation? That's what I would say.
I noticed that, like, being right doesn't really get you anywhere. I haven't seen being right being like, all right, I'm right. And then everything's like, okay, babe. It's like, yo, doors are slamming, this and that. Like, just being right has never worked. And I noticed, like, even sometimes in conflict, I could feel my ego bubbling up when someone says something to me about something. I feel there's a voice in my, I feel it in my chest. Like, it's this feeling like, yo, nah, I'm right. I'm gonna be right here right now.
Right.
And I have to breathe and talk that person off the ledge where it's like, wait a second, it's not about being right. You want to understand, you want to learn. What are they saying? What's the message here?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we feel like someone's saying something to us, it can start to feel like an attack. 100%. And when you feel attacked, what are you gonna do? You're gonna defend.
Yeah.
But if you're defending rather than understanding,
mm-hmm.
you're not really getting anywhere.
Can I add on to that quick? We as men, I find, were never taught like conflict resolution. Mm-hmm. We struggle with that. Like, listen, we struggle with conflict resolution. We either want to hear our voice, get the point across with no type of, let's say, I don't want to use the term respect, but enough compassion to understand what the other wants to say. And that's just relationships because, like, you're there every day. That's your significant other. You guys are going to buck heads regardless. But to understand how to sit down and have this conversation, you make the joke talking about it smooth. But in my relationship, I'm explosive.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that. And I'm trying to work on that. But it's not even the excuse of loving so passionate. Sometimes you're just like, hey, you got to hear this now. 0.5 seconds left in the game. Like, we got to play this now. I'm not trying to take this next week. I want it now. So sometimes I got to scale back, talk to myself about it, and change my attitude. You understand what I mean? Because a lot of it has to do with how we really sit down in relationships and try to, like, communication is shit. And we communicate hostile.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how you look at it, the second to your point, you feel your ego starts to get bruised. Why is your ego getting bruised? It's not. It's just your pride.
Mm.
Your pride doesn't want to come down, and we don't. As much as we sit down in relationships with females, there's something about a female leading that makes us feel less of a man in performance. That shit right there trips us because that's when the bruised ego starts to kick in them. Yo, I'm not even listening to you right now. I don't want to listen. I'm just going to do my own. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that balance is like, this is why I say, until we make healing like the rhythm of our day-to-day, and instead of reacting, we'll always be loving from a broken place. 100%.
I don't even want to go now, though.
I was about to say, Steph, next question.
I don't want to go now, bro. Again, I feel like even as well as a listener, I feel like I am. You check out at certain points, obviously, whether it's pride, ego, whatever the case is, because you feel like your point is so much more valuable than what they're trying to say, or their point. So, yeah, it's like, okay, you're not hearing me? All right, conversation's done. But it's like, both of your guys' point, we're not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
So, for me, conflict resolution has now turned into a situation where, yeah, take a couple of days, mull it over. And even for me, I now have, I guess, gained the knowledge and kind of like talk to myself in terms of how serious is this in the grand scheme. Is this something I can get over? And in those couple of days, it's like, okay, if something I can get over, okay, yeah, readdress or address it or whatever the case is. And if it's something that I don't, that's something that I can get over, then it's like, all right, we'll talk about it.
Right.
What? No, I want to stay on that point, the can't get over it versus can't get over it. I actually want to ask you a question about that, because I feel like I've seen this can't get over thing play out, where it's like, there's something that you want to address, and then you talk to yourself about it, and you tell yourself,
I can get over this.
I can get over this. I'm not
gonna address it. But you're just putting that
in. But then something else happens again. You're like, I can get over it. I don't want to address that. And then it's like the I can get over it bucket. It's starting to fill up and up and up. And then one day you snap because you thought you could get over it. But it's like, when is the, I think what I'm trying to ask here is like, when is the time of like what you're saying, I can get over it? Like, are we really over it, or should we actually like address those I can get over it situations? Like, is there like, what is the, like how, as you see it, what is the way to navigate that? Is that I can get over it actually something I'm really getting over, or is it something I'm just kind of like...
Are you asking me or you
I'm asking maybe both of you. I don't know. I'm asking the room.
Okay, well, I mean, speaking personally from my own, it has led sometimes to a toxic space where it's like, now, that's too much. But I feel like that's the point in of it, is where I can now start to see what actually bothers me over a period of time. Because then if over a period of time, like you said, if that thing does reappear, it's like, no, if it's bothering me the second time, I don't know if you meant that in terms of it reoccurring or just different something.
It could be different things too. Right. It could be okay, like, she did this one thing. Or like, she didn't call me back. Okay, whatever though, I'll get over it. And then you come home and...
She didn't cook.
Oh, okay, I can get over it. And then I can get over it start stacking up, but they're different things. To the point where it's like the next thing, you actually don't get over it now because I'll get over it bucket is full of I'll get over it. You kind of get what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying. Expectation plays a big factor in that too, right?
Yeah.
How you see things, because what is it they say? Expectation creates a big disappointment on the back end. But like harbored emotions is like the cancer to relationships. The second you keep stacking it and stacking it and stacking it, you don't address it. I feel everything is like you can address situations at any time. It's how you go about addressing the situation now is where the fine line draws.
Right.
So take your time, obviously, because if you're in a heated argument, you need a time to cool down. But addressing the point is never, it doesn't need 24 hours, 48 hours. It's not that deep. That would have to be something like your girl cheated on you and you're just broke up. You don't even know what's happening in your world right now. But to address something that's just communication, and the majority of it is communication, it's just sitting down at the round table and sitting down and saying, hey, listen, I didn't appreciate this. Don't focus on what somebody did wrong. Focus on
how you
the rectifying part and how you feel. So, hey, listen, this is how I feel about this. Can we do this the next time? Because I didn't appreciate it. We always focus on you. This is what you're doing wrong and da-da-da-da-da. Null and void. You just had a standstill.
I actually seen a clip on that, like on Instagram, that I wanted to like kind of implement into my relationship. It could have been an act or whatever, but essentially, I know how I am. Like normally if like if I'm heated, I kind of get like closed off to myself, don't want to talk. But in the clip, the guy goes to his girl and is like, listen, I love you. I know we need some time right now, but let's come back together in a day or in a little bit and then have the conversation. Because it's almost extending that arm now where it's like to like we're diffusing the situation on both sides. And we still have time. Now our last things aren't, I hate you or you said this, you said this. The last thing is something that's diffusing the situation and bringing it down. So then it's easier to come to together. Because if we're leaving off and we're heated in the moment, it makes it so much harder because you're like, oh man, you didn't, you did that on purpose. You did all that. And it's just going to stay in that. So that's like something I like hearing you speak. That's something I definitely want to implement into my own life, into my relationship. Because like you said, it's communication 9 times out of 10. And it's like, we could just easily rectify the situation by having a conversation and saying, this is how I felt. I'm sorry if I made you feel this way.
Right.
Let's be better next time.
Yeah, it's true. And we're all human, right? Mm-hmm. So our emotions really much so dictate how the shit moves. So it's never going to be a perfect world where we're able just to say, you know, hey, listen, this is what happened. Because sometimes you vex your vex.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
But again, all results are dependent on the approach. And that's the key to everything.
No, I appreciate that because like now that I'm looking at it, like I don't know if the I'll get over it approach worked for me. Because I'm thinking of like a past friendship I had, and it was just like, yo, this friend just kept doing little, like, you know, never offered to pay, never offered to help out with this, never offered to help out with that, always taking, taking, taking. But every time, soft.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like, nah, it's not soft.
It's not soft. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, but that one action on its own wasn't enough to be anything.
Right.
But I kept telling myself I was over it in the other situations till the I'll get over it bottle filled, and now the friendship's done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly. I know that same situation right now with a friend of mine. Over something that he just, actually, I wanted to get into.
Yeah.
I wanted to get into it. Say a smooth voice got turned off. Right? Yeah, yeah, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Right away. Right away. I just felt it. I was like, as you started talking about that, I was like,
And that's the voice triggers. Got deep. That's the heard the growl?
It's triggers, man.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. It, yeah.
Triggers a lot. Quickly before we transition, I want to say I found a lot of positivity and how to actually, I guess I now want to apply that when you were speaking about expectations, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of us today, I can't speak for everybody obviously, but even for me, we go into situations because they seem nice early on and we don't discuss what our expectations are. Mm-hmm. And then that leads us down to a point where it's like, yo, you should know. But it's like, they didn't know. So it's like, on both sides, obviously, man and woman, it should be something that it comes to the forefront. We sit down and kind of talk about what our expectations are realistically anyways.
Right.
Obviously, if you're like, yo, no, you need to cook and clean and I'll pay the, like, certain gender roles, cool, whatever, but expectations definitely need to be a discussion.
Yeah.
That way, later down the road, even if minds do change, it's another discussion, but at least everything's on the table.
100%.
You know what reminds me of that quote sometimes that frustrates me? The, if he wanted to, he would. That quote frustrates me, bro, because it's like it almost insinuates that I'm a mind reader, that I should know exactly what you want when we haven't had a prior discussion about it. It's not a fair quote,
right?
You know, and it's like I was in a situation where we had to actually dissect that, because I'm like, no, tell me what it is you need, tell me what it is you like, tell me what it is you want, so at least now I know, rather than having to do this guesswork,
right?
Because I would, if I knew.
You know what I mean?
So yeah, just to quickly move now. What are ways to communicate? Oh, you know what? I want to start with something that I found really profound about this. Is Tashawn said this on a really, really like early episode of He's a Guy. And he said, boundaries are, go ahead, Tashawn. I remember it in full, but.
Boundaries are the distance at which I can protect. Boundaries are the distance at which I can love you and myself at the same time.
So I thought that was super profound, right? So now with going with that, what are ways to communicate boundaries without creating distance or defensiveness?
Distance or defensiveness. Speaking, saying what you mean and mean what you say. Speaking on exactly what it is that you want and not just what you actually need. You understand? Mm-hmm. So you got to be like, we all have boundaries. We could set boundaries, but boundaries are not something that's going to be so detrimental to the relationship. As long as you understand what it is that you want and you put it on the table. And this goes right back to communication and what you were saying too earlier. We just don't know how to convey exactly what we want without it getting misconstrued through the journey of like physicality, the intimacy components, the arguments, etc. We lose it. And then it's like, okay, well, this is what I want you to do. But stay off on that side. No, it has to be, listen, this is how I'm feeling. Try to understand it, to respect it, because I can't tell you your pain. You can't tell me my pain. No one can dissect how someone internalizes pain. So everyone's going to have a different reaction. Just try to understand how you feel about it versus how I feel about it, how your significant feels about it, vice versa. But again, that common ground plays factor. And people, like, it seems so cliche to say it, but we just can't always apply it all the time because, again, we're emotional creatures. So communication is highly key behind that.
I have a question on this topic for you. What is truth?
What is truth?
When you look at a relationship, and I have an experience, she has an experience, which, is there a truth? Is there two versions and the truth? Like, how do you, when I ask, like, what comes up for you when I ask, like, what is truth?
What is truth? I think truth is like, truth to me is honesty, right? So, like, again, they say transparency and honesty, there's two differences. You could be transparent if somebody's asking you a question and you're being transparent. Okay, yeah, I'm going to the club today, I'm doing this, etc. Honesty is, hey, listen, sweetheart, I'm going to the club. This is what I'm doing, et cetera, et cetera. So in regards to your question, like, what is truth? If you guys, it all depends on what the narrative is in that situation. For you, I'm not sure if it's coming from a traumatic place. If she went through something, you both went through something. I don't know if that's what you're trying to get at, but like, when you open up truth, truth has to be like very transparent and honesty. I always say love is transparency. If you can have transparency in your relationship, like straight through and honesty, you're winning, because people can dissect it, digest it, and expel it the way. But truth, straight honesty to me personally. But you gotta have that communication. You gotta know your partner, because you can't tell her everything. I'll tell you that right now. You
can't tell her everything.
You can't, because everybody understands from the level of their own perception.
That's what I'm saying. Perspectives. That's my answer to
you. Hold on, repeat that again. Which you said, everybody understands from the level of their own perception.
Right.
So you're saying that everybody has a limit of understanding.
They have a limit, but they only have a capacity to what they can understand it and internalize it as.
So you're saying, if you were to share a certain thing with somebody, they might perceive it in the wrong way because they don't have the level of perception to perceive it in the way in which you're explaining it.
Yeah. I think it's alluded to, because you said this before, where it comes down, even just in a different space. We talked about in the last episode, you talked about experiences shape your understanding, right? So if you want to experience bad things in this space, if I were to explain something to you where my experience was good, you might not understand where the good comes from that, because only you had in bad, right? So it's all to a level of your perspective.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. That actually makes a lot of sense.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no, it's fair, because it's like, yeah, I had a really example, but I'm like, this one's too vulgar, so I might not share it. But no, it's just like understanding, like, it's perception, right? So it's like, say my ex or my girlfriend right now told me she did some sexual things I thought were crazy. Because I didn't experience those things, I'm going to think like, that's disgusting.
Or you didn't experience the way that she did.
She did.
Yes.
It might have been bad to you, but great for her.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I can say, you can even bring it down to a lower degree where it's like a strip club. For some women, they despise it. Mm-hmm. Some women, they like it. Depending on who you're talking to, if you said, hey, babe, I'm going to the strip club tonight. Yeah. What? Yeah. Disgusting. Why'd you go rub up on the throw money? But the other woman is like, I enjoy that.
Have fun.
Yeah.
That's a really good example.
Yeah. Or can I come? Yeah, she wants to be a part of that experience. Like, perspective.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So you can't share everything. That's what you're getting at.
I personally share everything. I'd rather bounce the ball and let you dribble it versus then hug it to myself. That's me.
Would you rather watch it have a turnover?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. We could call time out.
You know what I mean? Reconvene, yes.
Yeah, why not?
That's fair.
But I have to. I'm very transparent. Like, I have to just... I can't wear that, like... You see the harboring? I can't hold that. I'm a person that eats that. I need to address it. And I'm addressing it. If this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing. I'm letting you know. I don't have time to hide.
Yeah.
I always look at you're a human being. Like, I'm not going to hide it from you. If you don't understand it, I'll try to get to a level of understanding with you. But I'm not going to sit and just... Well, I'm not telling you this because I feel like you're going to feel a certain way. You have to have difficult conversations. Remember, it's a marriage, right? You're getting into a marriage. It's long-term, they say. Why am I worried about all the cookie-cutter shit in the beginning? Let's have the difficult shit now, make the memories later down the road.
Mm.
It only makes sense. But people don't see that. They live in the moment because they think everything's so concentrated. Oh, shit, now I'm going to step away. I don't want to tell you the truth. Why? I should be able to be your safest space. You should be my safest space, vice versa. We're a team. We're not playing on the opposing team. That part, people don't grasp it. And then when the arguments start, a lot of people argue from trauma. They don't argue from the actual point. They're arguing from a traumatic place that's the experience that comes in and now levels into the forefront of a relationship. And there's nothing wrong with that. You just have to understand how to navigate that with that individual, how to harness that, how to comfort it, and then rectify it. It's crazy, man. Relationships are nuts, bro.
Many nuances, bro. Right. So a question for the men. You know what I mean? I want to keep it. I don't want to keep a relationship. I want to, yeah, us. For us in here. What are you afraid of when it comes to when it comes to being fully present or vulnerable in your relationships?
What are you afraid of? I think my fear was always like looking weak.
Mm-hmm.
Offending the other person. Just knowing that like what I said can't be taken back, so it could be used against me in the future. Those are some things that really come to my mind. It's just that, like, you know, if I say that I'm struggling or like I don't know where my next check's coming from, I don't know how I'm gonna figure it out.
Right.
It's like I'm now putting a worry on you that will make me look weak. And now you're looking at like, oh, this guy's not who I thought he was.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like me losing my identity. I would say maybe that, or maybe me saying a feeling like I feel something is, you know, there's, I don't know, something I'm not enjoying about her right now,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I don't want to say it because it's like, it could be offensive. You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah.
I don't like the way like you're doing something with me in bed. Like, I don't want to say that because it's like, nah, it's like, you're going to take it the wrong way. And I'm like, oh shoot. Like,
you're safeguarding her without
even right.
telling her yet.
Yeah, because I say it, now you're looking at it like, oh, wow, like, that's how you feel? And it's like, no, I'm just trying to, and now it becomes a bigger thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think those are a lot of the ways I see me not wanting to be vulnerable.
Likewise.
You got to listen to the coach instead of saying, you got to be like, let's try.
Right. No, that's a fact, though. Focus on the result.
Yeah.
Right? Focus on, like, you know.
Try it. This something.
Let's try this thing. Let's try that thing. But it's like, it does take that carefully crafting of, like, what you want, what's not working, what you want, and, like, how to communicate that.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have to sometimes like take the time to actually think through that. And sometimes when we think about it, it gets so uncomfortable. You're like, nah, I'm not even gonna deal with it. It's not that deep.
Yeah. I relate with a lot of what you're saying. Especially when it comes to offending a partner. Cause I will now again harbor those things and be like, you know what? It's on me to deal with that so I don't have to hurt her feelings type of thing. I'll eat that. Or like you're saying also, feeling less of a man in their eyes when all I'm doing is being open and honest about things that I'm going through.
Right.
Right. And not to put that on, you know, a significant other, whoever, that needs to be unlearned, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think those are the things that I'm also afraid of. If I were to add anything else, it would be the idea of I can't take care of responsibility for you later on. You're going to look at me and remove me from a pedestal
right.
of where I thought you had me initially, which still, again, relates to that. It's just, I guess, taking it a step further. So yeah, I think those are the things that I'm afraid of, to be blistering real, like, oh man, like, you know, I'm struggling this week because I didn't make as much money as I thought I would or whatever. And she looks at me like, oh, so how can you take care of us?
Right.
I feel like that's going to come, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. True, you laugh, but I feel like you feel that.
No, God, I'm here with your face where you're like, so, like, I thought you were about to say, so, what does that do with me?
Yeah. Like, but I feel like some of that too, to be honest. Like, okay, so are you be able to handle us going forward or what?
Well, I still need to do my nails and my hair next week. Yep. So,
man, do I lose you in this? Like, all those things come to forefront, even though they might be an overdramatic play on what exactly is taking place, but overthought for me.
The fact. So I wonder, are those thoughts even reasonable? Some of them? Like, was that what they ever, would they ever even say these things?
You know, the funny part is, like, No. Like, so I'm listening to both of you guys talking. And it's like, I think we all have those fears, right? Like being the provider and then one day saying like, yo, like work was slow. Like, you know, babes, like, I don't know what we're going to do next week or whatever. And like, you know, like in your mind, you're like, oh, you know, she's going to think less of a man of me. But I'll give you guys an example because like the last couple of weeks at work have been slow, but it's starting to pick up now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can obviously see certain things. And my wife came to me, she's like, you know, if you have anything to tell me, you can let me know. And you're like you guys said, that ego, that pride in you, right. You won't say it, but they know.
No. Yep.
They know, you know, and you're not saying anything. And then she's like, well, if you need help with anything or, you know, she's like, I'm always here to talk to you. You can open up, you can tell me things. And I'm like, nah. you know what I mean?
I'm ready right now.
That's what I go with. I'm like my pride, I'm going to figure this out. You know who I am?
Yeah.
I'm Terrell Murray. I'll figure this out. Yeah. But it's like, oh, nah, babes, I need your help right now.
I'm trying to
fight for my life out here.
That's some shit, though.
I like that shit.
But that's what it is. Like, it goes back to being honest. Yeah. And they know. Believe it or not, you guys, they know, you know. But they just want you to tell them. They want you to open up. But like you said, we're kind of scared. Like, we'll go back to Deshaun. Like, it would be throwback in your face. Like, you know, when... Are you going to think less of me?
Right.
Right? But I personally, if I'm seeing her reaction, not me telling her, they don't think less of you. They actually, if they do love you, they want to help you.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. I'd say for me, is the pressures of like generational curses.
Mm.
I think because I wasn't, not to say I wasn't raised on love, but I didn't see that in the forefront of my everyday.
Right.
When I'm in my relationship, it's always in the back of my mind to not mess things up and fall into that generational curse. So it's like a huge fear of mine, like to always get things right. But in times when you're trying to get things right and make it perfect, is kind of when you drop the ball because there's no perfect.
100%.
You know what I mean? And yeah, it's just one of those things that I think about all the time. Okay, don't drop the ball.
Right.
Make sure you're showing up. Making sure you're providing, doing all these things. But I mean, like to bring in everything you guys said, it's just that sometimes I feel like I'm drowning because I'm putting all these pressures on myself to make sure that I don't fall into that generational curse, whether it's being a single father or, you know, breaking up my household or, you know what I mean, being a deadbeat, all these things just come together and just manifest in my mind every single day. So I'd say that's like a fear that I definitely have.
Appreciate that, bro.
Comes to being in relationships.
Thank you for opening up, Dion. Like,
stop trying to get in my clip, bro.
That clip was hot. That was his time, man. I heard the music clip.
Yeah. Said I all heard the music.
Nah, right. I actually wasn't trying to get in your clip.
I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
Nah.
God, no foodie did it to you. Oh my goodness.
That's real.
Wow.
Okay. What's one thing we can do differently to improve how we show up for others and show up for yourself?
One thing we can do different.
I want to start real quick.
Yeah.
Just even listening to just for the short period of time that we have, leading with honesty. And honestly, the application of better strategizing of how I can open up about things that do bother me or open up with how to lead conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's what I would say. And that would even better help myself going forward in other areas, right? Right. Where it's not like, because in other areas, I feel like a lot of us can speak. Like, we don't take a lot of bullshit. We don't take a lot of situations lightly. We're assertive in a lot of different areas. But then when it comes to dealing with relationships, especially with significant others, as men, will shell up or will, you know, revert back to a space of
right.
harboring a lot of things. And we don't do that in other areas. We're very open and assertive. So I feel like, I think that's one thing I can do for me.
I would go ahead.
Still Justin's showing up healed.
Yeah.
Showing up healed is big.
Yeah.
Working on yourself. Cause I can't pour from an empty cup, right?
No.
I can't show up for somebody if I didn't even show up for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Working on my stuff, whether it's going to therapy and like you said, learning like who I am to the right. core.
Yeah.
Before I'm trying to learn somebody else.
Yes.
Cause if I don't know who I am, what's the point of learning somebody else?
Exactly.
Like who am I? Who's Theon at
right.
the core, right? So that's definitely showing up healed.
I think I'll echo a little bit of what Steph said. I think like even for me, it's yeah, leading with honesty, like for sure. But it's also like having that ability to ask the questions like, how can I show up better?
Mm-hmm.
As a friend, as a brother, not a father, as a son.
I'm about to say, you're telling us something?
Yeah, right?
You know, but it's really like I, as much as like Steph saying, like, you know, sometimes in our lives we don't take bullshit. I think sometimes that's usually with people who are not the closest to us.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who are the closest to us,
right.
We love them so much sometimes that we don't get, we'll take too much from them,
right.
Or we won't give enough, or we won't ask the question, how can I show up better for whatever reason? It's like, maybe we're just so used to the relationship
mm-hmm.
and the way it's been. We don't think that both people are growing and evolving through life. I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. You guys are not the same guys as we were 10 years ago. So it's like, we're changing. So like, our needs in terms of what the friendship even looks like is probably changing.
Mm-hmm.
But taking that time to check in and be like, yo, how can I be a better friend?
Yeah.
How can I be a better
partner?
How can I be a better
father?
So
I was out of it. I'm
stealing my clip, boss. Yeah, but it's really that for me.
Nah, I like that. I like that.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, for sure, brother. How do we show up?
What's the one thing that we can do differently to improve how you show up for others and for yourself?
I got that.
I don't know. I'm still working on a lot of things, you know?
That's the answer.
I don't think that's a good enough answer. Like,
continue to work on yourself. I feel that's a good answer, bro.
It's a strong answer. Yeah.
Knowing that you're not perfect, you're working on yourself.
No, I know I'm not perfect, but I believe I'm perfect, you know? And sometimes that's like be my kryptonite, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, I'm not even hearing you right now. But let me calm down. I'm like, oh, damn. Like, I heard everything. You know, do we move on from this or?
Right.
You know, do I mention and say, like, I know I was wrong? And so I just will move on silently.
Yeah.
Right? That's just how I operate.
So how can you do it anything differently?
I guess bring it up earlier, you know, instead of taking the time to actually, like, calm down and, you know, think about it, right? Right there and then, you know, try to be a cooler head and, you know, speak on it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Justin, what do you feel?
Read the question, man.
Yeah, I got you.
Please and thanks.
You buying time too?
What's one thing we can do differently to improve how you show up for others and for yourself?
I don't even want to load this answer, but it's giving yourself the patience and the understanding to know that you can make mistakes, but learning from them. Because we, again, Ty just said the realest shit, like, I hear it, but I don't even want to deal with it right now. But the accountability is so huge, and we don't like to take accountability right away. Because, like, it's not to say our ego or pride is bruised. It's just in the moment, it's like, I don't even care to deal with that. Let me just fester in my emotion right now and then move out of it. But being able to be accountable, sitting in a situation and understanding it and wanting to digest it for what it is and learn from it is huge. But again, when you, I'm going to go spiritually a little bit here, but having God at the center of your relationship is key, because right now you can almost free yourself from things you can't control. Mm. So when you center that piece, it almost makes you not always have to focus on trying to control what the narrative looks like. Balance. Relationships need balance. Everything needs a balance. But when you have that and it's not teeter-totter every 2 seconds, it's not turmoil. So the Richter scale is low. It's not an earthquake every fucking time. But a lot of our relationships, they reach 7.2 on the Richter scale like this. Some of us are always revving at like 90 to 100 versus 0 to 100. You got to slow yourself down. But if you really want it, you got to come to the table committed. That's the difference. And that's the only real true answer. If you want that change, you got to be committed to and disciplined enough to dedicate yourself to move forward with it. You won't get it. Because again, you'll always be loving from like a broken place. And a lot of us are loving from broken places, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You want it to withstand your point. You don't want it to crumble. So it's in the back of your head, but you're carrying that weight. It's a lot of weight to carry for one person. And emotionally, it's like you need to perform at a high level. So you put your expectation already to the top. The second you break, emotionally, you're done. So I would advise you, just as recommendation, not to try to carry that. Be open enough to say, okay, you know what? If I'm struggling, I'm struggling. Whatever's going through it, you'll get over it. But don't try to always control the narrative, because I was the same way. I want to control everything, but not in like a manly power. It's not about that shit. It's just the nature of who we are.
We are, yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's so much that we could add on to that shit. But at the same time, it's like, as men, we struggle to literally be as transparent as we want. We'll be transparent here, but we're not transparent. You get every single one of our girls and shit, we see a whole different dude.
It's a whole different. Yeah.
Shit, like, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? You know, he was doing what? Like, you know what I mean? Babe, let me get a cookie. Over. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, yeah. I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah.
Dudes be different. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm kicked up in my onesie and shit. Like, babe, let me snuggle with you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm there, bro. But you got to be honest with yourself, bro. Yeah. That's just it.
Bro, I appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
Do I play?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
One round. Let's go. So we have our game. Let's talk about it. So men have more conversations because sometimes we shy away from them. Mm-hmm. We have three decks here for you to choose from. What we have is you pick a card from the deck. You either ask it, answer it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or ask the room and answer last. White is the small surface, blue is medium, and black is the deepest one.
Deepest. Pick that right now. Oh, damn. What's one thing you still haven't forgiven yourself for?
Mm. Oh, these are new.
One thing you haven't forgiven yourself for.
Wow, that's a heavy one right there.
Yeah, that's very heavy.
I'm forgiving myself.
You're asking the room?
The room's answering this. Yeah, the room's going for this one.
One thing I haven't forgiven myself for.
I'll start. Being young, my grandmother passed away. I was in a relationship at the time. Mm-hmm. And we were in Montreal at the funeral with family. And it was like around Valentine's Day.
Mm.
And I remember my girlfriend at the time, like, being like, oh, this sucks. Like, you know, you're not here during Valentine's Day. And I think just the pressure of that kind of just made me not really, like, grieve and be there for my family.
Right.
As opposed to, like, I was asking them, like, let's go. And something that I harbored for a long time, because I was like, I don't think I didn't show up for my grandma in the way that I wanted to show up for her.
Right.
And I know I was young and like learning, but definitely something that like
still weighs on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I super appreciate that answer, man.
Yeah, that's sure, a deep bro. Answer too.
Well, one thing I haven't given my forgive myself for was nothing too crazy, nothing too deep. It was when I got into Laurentian University. Mm-hmm. Like, it's funny, Tashawn signed me up to go to school. And but I remember when I got the letter saying they accepted me, I'm in, whatever. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going. Oh. I don't know why, I just said, yeah, I'm not going. And I'm like, later on when I look back at it, I'm like, I should have went to university. I should have went to school. That's just one thing.
Damn.
You're sharing that.
Wait, that's some good answer, bro. Thank you for sharing that, bro.
Thank you, bro.
I think I lied to Tashawn too. He's like, you get the letter?
Yeah.
Nah, I didn't even get it yet.
Right.
Man. I'm giving myself for it. I can say this, I guess, for both of my grandparents, just while they were here. You know what? I say family regardless. I put a lot of things in front of kind of just being there.
Mm-hmm.
I always have the idea of, I'll see you again. It's no worries. Like, it didn't work out this time. It's cool. Check you again. Right? Well, I was going to check my dad. Grandparents, like I said, who passed away, just I guess value in that time. Like, I always put something that I felt was important, more important at the time, ahead of those things, whether it's work or. And they always say that they understand, and I truly believe that they do understand that, and they allow me to do those things. But like I said, as time goes on, you kind of realize what time is and how valuable it is. Those moments, those laughs, any of those times, I don't think I'd ever trade them for money or anything that I wanted to do at those times anyways. But I always catch myself going back to the rat race of putting those things before them. So still trying to work through those things, but yeah, just I don't know if I'd ever forgive myself for them, but yeah, I think those.
That's deep. It's real too. I can even add on to that actually, because like, as we grow, right? So we're all growing. But when I go back and scale back into my past, I think the pain that I kind of put my mother through and my father, I never forgive myself for that. I don't know if, like, I'm answering a real deep question right now, but I hit a situation about 20 years back for the first time to see my father in tears. I'm coming out. Obviously, I'm coming out the bullpen and coming out for bail. And just the look on his face, it was just like disappointment. He's a man that don't cry. So I couldn't even face him in that eye. Like, just looking at him, I was like, shit. And I just turned away. He kind of looked at me like, yo, you good? I'm like, yeah. And it's just a tear in his face. I was just like, fuck it. Just it's embedded in my brain. And it's like, when I look at my mom, I'm just like, shit, like, here's my mother. And I put her to make her feel so, like, scared to come out of her own home because the shit I was involved in at that time period in my younger days. My whole goal now is just to do better for them and to really reach that place where they feel proud, where I am now, and they're proud as shit. But I've never forgave myself. I've never forgiven myself for that because life is so short. It's like I feel like I created certain stresses on them for no reason. Mm. And those are through my product of being, product of your choices.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Thank you for sharing that, man.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that, man.
As I sit here reflecting, there's a few things I've never forgiven myself for.
Mm-hmm.
Deep. There's one I want to choose, but I might have to save that for another time. I don't know if I'm ready to talk about it. But the one was, I had a friend, Jeff, in university.
Oh, Jeff, man.
Rest in peace.
Mm,
real one. A brother of mine. And I think, like, I have this thing of, I'm really a person who really likes to live in the moment. What I mean by that is, like, where I'm at.
Right.
And I feel like Jeff was one of my best friends in university at the beginning, and then he moved away to another school. We stayed in touch a lot. But I'm very much like, if you're not in my city or in my space, I tend to neglect the relationship and the friendship, because I'm just very much like, this is where I'm at right now.
Right.
And it's like, sometimes you find it hard to stay in touch with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, you know, he reached out to me a couple times, and I kind of like, I feel like brushed him off. And not in a bad way. It's just like, I was just caught up doing what I was doing. He eventually passed away in a motorcycle accident. And it was just like, my head, I was just like, I'm always going to see it.
Right.
You know, like when I'm back,
yeah,
I link up with him.
Yeah. But that didn't happen.
But that didn't ever happen.
Let it out, cut.
That's tough. So it's just like, I never forgave myself for that.
Mm-hmm.
There's times where I'm like, I'm a bad friend, but I don't show up for everybody.
Yeah, over that shit, bro.
Appreciate you for sharing that.
Hold your head, brother.
Appreciate you.
Real talk, I gotta forgive myself, because
mm-hmm.
I just did the best I could with what I had.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us knew Jeff in the room, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Jeff never took none of that personal, brother.
That's well, it, man. Appreciate you for sharing that, dog.
100%, man.
Quickly transition.
Who picked this card, man?
I told
you, edit that. You said everything's edited, right?
No, look.
Yo, pick it up one more time, please.
Yo,
put an AI dub on that.
Game ain't nothing to make, nothing to play
for real, bro.
Pick that up.
Justin, do you have anything, you know, you'd like to promote towards the end of this? Where to find you at?
All social media handles, Justin Connects.
Connect.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not on social media like that, to be honest with you. A lot of the clients that I have just came through being in the place at the right time.
Organic drink.
Organic. So I like it that way. I don't want to be like, I'm reading off the teleprompter, like, yeah, this is a relationship advice. Nah, I can't do that shit. I can't. Like, I have to give it to you authentic, raw, and real.
Yeah.
That's it. But Justin Connects, all social media handles. That's it.
I'm here. Here's a guy, Justin.
Appreciate you.
You guys at home. See you again.